You're listening to Comedy Central.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
December 11, 2019. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight is one of my favorite actors in the whole wide world, and she's my best friend, but she doesn't know it. Lupita Nyong'o is here, everybody! We're gonna be talking about her New York Times best-selling children's book and the new Star Wars movie she's in. Also, on tonight's show, we find the worst place to have your wedding. Ronnie Chang sees dead people, and the U.S. government admits it's been lying to you. So let's catch up on today's headlines. Let's kick it off with Time Magazine's Person of the Year. It's an annual message to the world's other 7.7 billion people that you suck. And this year's honoree is an obvious choice.
This was just announced moments ago. The Time Person of the Year is 16-year-old climate change activist Greta Thunberg. Now, you remember when the Swedish team took on UN world leaders at the climate change summit. I mean, 16 years old. Congratulations to her. She had a passionate plea garnering a lot of attention.
And for way too long, the politicians and the people in power have gotten away with not doing anything at all to fight the climate crisis and the ecological crisis. But we will make sure that they will not get away with it any longer.
Yeah. Greta Thunberg has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And she must have been so excited when they told her. It was like, great news, Greta, we're gonna cut down a million trees and print your face on them. Like, and then we're gonna put them on airplanes and send them all over the world. For real, though, it's so cool to be named Person of the Year while you're still in high school, right? All the other kids are like, oh, I was voted most likely to succeed. And Greta's slapping her magazine like, I already succeeded, bitch. Plus, you realize now she doesn't have to fill out a college application. Yeah. She could just show them this. Although, it is gonna be awkward when she sends it to Harvard and they're like, wait a second, Aunt Becky told us her daughter was Person of the Year. All right, let's move on. If you're about to get married, first of all, it's a trap, get out now! And also, you should probably think very carefully when choosing your wedding venue.
And the popular wedding planning site Pinterest and The Knot, they've both announced that they're no longer promoting content for plantation-style weddings. The wedding trend has been widely slammed for romanticizing the history of slavery.
And spaces that were intentionally created so that our ancestors could be forced to work and do free labor. These are spaces that not only are, it's not that slavery happened to happen in these spaces were created for slavery.
Yes, wedding planners have come under fire for promoting weddings at plantations, because people are saying it ignores what plantations were created for, slavery. And I'll be honest, I don't even get it. Like, why would you want your wedding at a place associated with slavery? Unless you're trying to send a message about your marriage, you know? Just like, yeah, I want to get married somewhere that reminds me that my freedom is over, and I'm gonna have to obey someone for the rest of my life. You know, the one good thing about a plantation wedding is that it's the perfect excuse for people who don't want to go to your wedding. Yeah, because you can just pretend it's a moral stand, you know? Hey, I'd love to be there, but I can't attend a wedding where people were enslaved, you know, at a place where people were enslaved. It's like, you know what, you're right, we're moving our wedding to our backyard. Oh, on land that was stolen from Native Americans. Then I guess we're not getting married? Oh, that's sad. I really wanted to come. All right, that's it for the headlines. Let's move on to our top story. The war in Afghanistan. It's basically the Grey's Anatomy of wars. We all thought it ended years ago, but somehow it's still going strong. And now, with the war in its 18th year, we're learning for the first time how badly Americans have been played.
Tonight, newly released documents raise serious questions about whether the American people were lied to about the progress of the war in Afghanistan, the longest in our history.
A massive new trove of confidential documents obtained by the Washington Post reveals U.S. officials systematically lied to the American public about the Afghan war virtually since the beginning, 18 years ago. The objective? To conceal widespread fears that America was losing.
The rosy picture that's been painted by our political and military leadership is not the real picture on the ground.
Yes, for 18 years, the American government has been painting a rosy picture, telling Americans everything has been going great in Afghanistan, when in reality, it's a total shit show. It's basically the technique every failing couple uses on Instagram. No, it's just like hashtag date night, hashtag couple goals, send. It's like, are you done with your phone now? Well, if you didn't smile so shitty, I wouldn't have to take so many pictures, you dick. I hate you. I hate you more. Let's do one more in portrait mode. But yes, we're now learning from this bombshell Washington Post expose that the government manipulated every detail about the war in Afghanistan. They used numbers they couldn't back up. They hyped small successes when they knew the big picture was getting worse. And they even tried to spin suicide bombings as a sign of success, which is confidence, if nothing else. You know, it's like making a Tinder profile that says, you know I'm a catch because I have my own room in my mommy's basement. Swipe right. Now, it's not unusual for governments to try and make things seem like they're going well in a war when they aren't. But what makes the story even more egregious was that they lied about even having a plan.
It's as blunt as can be. We didn't know what we were doing.
We didn't know exactly why we were there or how we could get out, and not a soul could define victory.
Retired General Douglas Lute, the Afghan war czar, saying in 2015, what are we trying to do here? We didn't have the foggiest notion of what we were undertaking.
We didn't have a strategy. We didn't even know who the enemy was. Who were we there to fight?
Wow. America sent its troops to Afghanistan for 18 years, and they didn't even know who they were going to fight? It's not how you go to war. That's the strategy of a group of drunk dudes who are going out in Boston. You know, it's just like, someone's getting f***ed up tonight, bro. Who? I don't know, probably us. But basically, part of the problem is that the people in charge didn't know how to define victory in Afghanistan, right? Was it beating the Taliban or beating Al-Qaeda? Making the country a democracy. And if you don't know how to end it, then you should just wrap it up and get out, you know? Like they did with Game of Thrones. She's dead, he's gone, the bird kid is king. Roll the credits. Take the money, let's go. But these people stretched it out. And this report shows that America's government had little success and not much of a strategy going in. But there was one thing they had plenty of. Money. The problem is, as any rapper will tell you, more money, more unnecessary expenditures.
Aid workers in the field, military officers, diplomats, they all said this was more money than they could possibly spend, that they were ordered by Congress and officials back in Washington to spend as quickly as they could, as much as they could.
Nearly $1 billion on helicopters and planes for the Afghans. Trouble is, there is serious doubt that the Afghans can fly them.
A half million of your dollars wasted on a building that melted 4 months after it was built.
$34 million went to a soybean growing project. And soybeans don't grow in Afghanistan, and people in Afghanistan don't eat soybeans.
The Pentagon wasted millions on uniforms for the Afghan army. It was to buy a forest camouflage pattern. Forests cover only 2% of Afghanistan.
Okay, that is just insane. $28 million for forest camouflage in a country that's all desert. The only way that could have been a bigger waste is if it was for Forrest Whitaker camouflage. Yeah, at least that would have confused the people. Mahmoud, we're being invaded by the guy from Wakanda. Don't shoot, I want his autograph. The strength of the Black Panther. So America spent nearly $2 trillion on the war in Afghanistan with basically nothing to show for it. And maybe that's how you get the U.S. government to put money into things like healthcare or teachers, right? That's what Americans should do. Just tell them the Taliban is there. Yeah, then Congress will be like, the Taliban is attacking schools and hospitals. Give them more money. Give them as much money as they need. And send in three Forrest Whitakers just in case. Do it. Now, you might be thinking, who did this to us, Trevor? Who can we be mad at? Is it Trump? Is it Bush? Is it Obama? Because I didn't want to say anything, but I think he's black. Well, actually, the answer is all of the above.
U.S. officials have misled the American people about the conflict across three administrations with decades of upbeat presidential pronouncements about the war.
Our progress is a tribute to the spirit of the Afghan people and to the might of the United States military.
Here, in the pre-dawn darkness of Afghanistan, we can see the light of a new day on the horizon.
Great progress is being made. The spirit, and I'm hearing it from everybody, everybody that goes over comes back and said, really, it's like a different place.
Yeah, it turns out that Bush, Obama, and Trump all did their part to exaggerate America's success in Afghanistan. And I guess that's the silver lining in the story. In a country increasingly divided every day, it's nice to learn that there's one issue that brings America's leaders together: lying about war. We'll be right back.
All benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an Academy Award-winning actor who can be seen in the highly anticipated Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. She's also written a children's book called Sulwe. Please welcome Lupita Nyong'o. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And
good to
let's
be
start
here.
By saying congratulations on all of your nominations. How many nominations do you have? Because sometimes I feel like Instagram is just repeating a post, and then I realize you've gotten nominated for another thing. What's your latest nomination now?
The Screen Actors Guild.
That's for us.
Yes, for us. Yes, yes.
Are you a little bit worried that when you go to accept your award, you are going to kidnap you and then go accept the award on your behalf? It's like a tiny... Like, how do we know it's... How do we know you're you right now? Do you ever think of that?
All the time.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off by talking about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
New movie coming out.
Yes.
Maz Kanata.
Mm-hmm.
Maz Kanata is your character.
Yes.
And you're coming back again. These are the most secretive movies, though. Like, the trailer doesn't give anything away.
Right.
Which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't let you tell us anything.
Yeah.
Like, why are we here?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but it seems to work every time.
It works every time, yeah, because the movies are amazing, but then, like, you can't tell me anything. Like, normally I can ask you, like, what happens in a story, and I can be like, well, this happened or that happened. I can't see it. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen. No, it's like lock and key. Okay, one question. Maybe you can tell us. What's Baby Yoda like? Is he in the movie? No, that's another story.
You know, I know almost as much as you do. To be very honest.
That's crazy.
They give you just what you need to know.
Right.
So I'm curious as well. I can't wait.
Is it because they want you to go and watch the movie as well?
I think so. They're that hard-pressed for cash.
Yeah, Disney's just hardcore. They're like, no, Lupita, you're going to come and watch the movie. You're going to... But it must be really special for you being a part of such a major franchise. I mean, you've done so many epic films. You're an Oscar-winning actor, but at the same time, you're part of Star Wars. Was that something you thought about when you were growing up? Is like, I'm going to be part of the biggest franchise ever?
It never occurred to me, I have to admit. And I watched Star Wars growing up, but I didn't know that it was a cultural phenomenon.
Right.
You know, I just liked like C-3PO, it just come on public holidays, you right. know? So it was a public holiday movie. And then I got cast.
Wait, which country was this in?
In Kenya, sorry, yes.
Wait, in Kenya, uh-huh. Star Wars is a public holiday movie?
Yeah, it would come on the public holidays, yeah.
That's rock and roll. No, because like most countries would play like those old black and white films where it's just like someone saving Christmas or something.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, no, we're doing Star Wars.
We're doing Star Wars. Yeah, so I really liked, I liked the movie, but I didn't know what it was all about.
Right.
And then I got cast in Star Wars and my brother cried. And that's when I was like, okay. And then I was watching, what is it? Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
And I realized that Star Wars, like, it was pervasive in all popular culture. Because one of the questions was like, oh, you're Darth Vader. And I was like, wow, like everyone is all about Star Wars.
Yes.
And then there was this big splash about me being a part of it. And I was like, oh, shit.
Let me ask you this then. Is there a part of you that's happy that your character is like a, like you wear the dot things and you do the acting, right?
I am so glad.
Because
I,
then you don't God. Have, because Star Wars fans are like the best fans in the world, but
oh,
they
yeah.
will chase you.
They're intense.
And they'll chase you with lightsabers to get like a selfie.
Yes.
But they don't, like a lot of people might not know that you're in the movie.
Yeah, the real buffs know that I'm in the movie.
Got it.
But
got
yeah,
it.
Just like, you know, lighter Star Wars fans don't.
Right.
So I get away with being in it and also not being in it, which I like a lot.
I like that you are also in, like, it's not just Star Wars, but then at the same time, you're in Black Panther as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like these major, like, do you ever get confused though when you're in epic movies? Like, do you, in the middle of Star Wars, was like Mars just doing this? And then people are like, what are you doing?
That's crazy.
It would be amazing, though.
Wakanda is kind of specific.
Right.
And so is the galaxy far, far away, you know?
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, so when you're doing Mars,
yeah.
are you in, like, a sound booth?
Well, yeah, this time, in the past, I've done the motion capture.
Right.
This time, I just did her voice, and they had an animatronics do the role.
So then
yeah.
you, where, like, do you just, like, do it? You just wake up, and then you just go and do the voice?
Yeah, I go in.
Do you dress as her? Do you have to, like, get in? Because you don't, you're the character, but we don't see you, so.
Yeah, I wear orange for inspiration.
Right. And, like, those headphone things and the.
Goggles.
Yes.
Yep, that's all in the booth
okay.
waiting for me.
Okay, okay.
Just to feel like, no, it is not true. None of this is true. Let's get that straight. I'm not a crazy person. No, I go in there in my sweats and, you know, and I get in there and they're like, okay, so this is what happened right before. And they give me a rundown about
right.
where I'm at. And then I go for it.
You see, now what you should have done, and if you do another Star Wars movie, because
uh-huh.
they don't tell you what's going to happen,
yeah.
you should just stretch the rundown. So they go, okay, this is how, they've just been a battle, and now you, and then you're like, what was the battle about?
I totally
and then
do that.
Gonna, and then you'll be like, what happens after the battle?
Okay.
And then you should just get the whole movie.
And I'm writing it
yeah,
down.
Yeah, just write, and then say
down.
That again, please, and say that again.
And then I post it on Instagram.
And then Disney's like, Lupita, we need to speak to you. Let's talk about the book now.
Yes.
We know Lupita Nyong'o as an award-winning actress, and now we should know Lupita Nyong'o as a New York Times best-selling author. Congratulations. The book has received many accolades. Sulwe is a beautiful story about a young girl who has dark skin, unlike some of the other members of her family. They're all black people, but with different shades, and
yeah.
she's the darkest.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cute is, like, it's a story of how she doesn't like her skin, and the kids tease her in school, and then she comes to learn through, like, the magic of the stars why her skin is also beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a story that is resonating with so many people, almost now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel you needed to tell this story, especially to children?
Well, because I lived this. This is a very liberal autobiography. And I wanted to tell it to children because I think they're the ones who really need to hear it most. You know, they're at that impressionable age where they're figuring out who they are and what their value is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get to that child before the world had told them what they were so they could figure it out for themselves. So one of the things that Sulwe does is that she, through her imagination and through this journey in the night sky, she figures it out for herself. And I think that's an important message because you can't really control how the world is going to treat you, but you can control how you treat yourself. And hopefully when you can love yourself, you can change the world around you with the light that you shine.
That's beautiful. I think I found it even more touching
because I knew how personally you took the story. And you write about it in the back of the book, you know? Mm. It seems like a great kid's story, but then when you realize that this was your life, you start to understand how much of an impact it makes on people. In fact, just recently, Miss South Africa won Miss Universe.
I know, congratulations.
And, she was saying she was saying how, you know, even for her, seeing somebody of dark skin with natural hair and just being an African woman, being celebrated for her beauty, was a milestone. A lot of people connected to that. If there is a child out there, or anyone, even a grown-up who says, like, you know, Lupita, I've had dark skin for so long. People have said to me, I'm not beautiful because of that dark skin. Is there anything you did or changed or found in your life that helped you find the beauty that you actually always had?
Woo! That's a good one. Anything that I did that helped me find myself, really? Well, I think, what did I do? I kept my imagination alive. I always fed my imagination, and that's where I found solace. And that's why it was so important that she had an imagination and went on this journey. Because when you have an imagination, you can create for yourself the person you want to be. You can you give yourself vision, and it's so important to have vision because that's what can take you from where you are to where you need to be. So I think that's really important. But I think it's also about surrounding yourself with people who see the best in you, you know, and finding those people and holding onto them for dear life. For me, I was lucky. My parents really believed in me, and my parents, even when I didn't believe in myself or when I got teased by other people, my parents were steadfast in their love.
Right.
And so even when I didn't want to hear it because it wasn't cool to listen to your mom, at the end of the day, my parents did not tire from reminding me of the things that I needed to know about myself. And when the time came, I could take that on and use it to move forward.
And you've moved very far forward.
Thank
you so much for being on the show again. Congratulations on everything. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, opens in theaters December 20th. And Sue is a beautiful book that's available now. Go out and get it. Lupita Nyong'o, everybody.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.